And then the Spirit of the Lord kind of sidetracked what we needed to finish there, and so I recognized on the spot that we had to come back and revisit a little bit. And so we're going to do that again today. But I want to just remind you that whatever God wants to do, His way of doing things is always by faith. Yeah. Yours. It's by your faith.
I can't just live off your faith.
I'm not going to answer that. Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
God gave me faith. The other day I was kind of researching all of that, and I was in Matthew. I was in, what's his name? He's a commentary guy, Matthew Henry. And it was interesting. He was saying we all got the same amount of faith. My Bible doesn't say that. Maybe what he meant was something different than what I read, but my Bible indicates to me that we all got some faith, a measure, thank you, of faith. And we're going to look at that one more time in the Word this morning, but my Bible shows me that he gave us whatever faith we need to accompany our gift. My Bible tells me that we got whatever faith we needed for what he wanted us to do. That's why it's so important to know and to understand what it is God wants you to do. Bill has been given faith, but he may not have been given the same faith that Duff got. Their faith may be different, but they nevertheless got faith to step out and do what God wants them to do. I know it's nice to think that God just gave us all the same amount of faith, that I have the same amount of faith as Brother Dale, or that he has the same amount of faith as Brother Duff. But how about that he just gave us the right amount of faith, whatever it takes, whatever the big deal is, the most important deal, is that everybody got faith. You have faith. I've had people tell me that they just don't feel like they have even any faith for a certain situation. I believe our God gave us faith for every situation that we would come across.
Amen. Amen.
I got faith. Didn't you get faith?
I got faith.
Say, I've got faith. It's interesting that the Bible talks to us and says faith comes by
hearing
and hearing the Word of God. Did you know that those are two different words in the Bible, those hearing words? So sometimes we take that all we need to do is say it over and over again, we'll get faith. Well, you know, that's partial, but it's only partially true. It speaks about faith coming by logos. How many know what logos is? It's the written word of God. And you know the written word of God inspires faith. It's amazing. But when we deal with the written word of God, before Almighty God, in the presence of Almighty God, something awesome happens. Have you ever been just kind of spending time with God? Have you been praying, reading the Word of God, and it's like an increased presence came? I was the other day upstairs. I was looking at all that the men had been doing, looking at all the drywall that had been hung and kind of walking through and seeing where now the mudding and taping is taking place. And it's as I walked around in the place, a special presence came. You've had that happen, right? Just right in the middle of whatever you're doing. I was praying, wandering around, and I wasn't just seeing the walls, but I was seeing what the Lord was showing to me about the the numbers that were coming through and the new faces that were coming through the door. And I found myself praying again. Did you know there's a pastor from Seoul, Korea? He is reputed to have the largest churches in the world. I said churches. It used to be that he had the largest church, but that changed, and how he prays. He used to pray for God to give him a 1,000 people a year, and then God said, you can pray for more than that. And so he prayed for 1,000 people a month. And on it went until today he prays for 50,000 a month. And he doesn't just add them to one church, he adds them to churches that God told him to start. Well, I was kind of doing that. Here in Canada, you know, my faith's probably not big enough, but I don't have it in me to pray for 50,000 a month yet. But on the other hand, God does have me praying for newcomers coming through the door here in great numbers. He told me to build the building to house the people that were coming, whom God was bringing here. And so I was kind of doing that day as I was walking through the church. I like to come in when there's no hammers and I don't hear any drills, and just me and God kind of quiet in there. And I can see what I need to see. I love it. And in the middle of all of that, I get increased faith. In any event, wandering through the building and praying like that, and the presence of God came in a greater way, much greater way. And it, you know, I'm a bit of an emotional type, so what happens is I feel all that. Some of you will and some of you won't, but it was just kind of like I got all of a sudden wrapped by the Spirit of the Lord, just kind of like a hug, you know, and a presence. I can't even describe it to you, but it kind of just stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, you know what? I've been praying the Word. I've been praying the Word, and what just happened was it turned from a Logos word to a Rhema word. What's the word Rhema mean? Comes alive, that's a good way to say it. Somebody else? The living word? Uh-huh. It really comes alive, living. For me, it's kind of like an absolute knowing. It was there in the Word of God before that, you know, and I could read it, see it, it was written. And I believe in the written Word of God, and I believe in saying it. I believe in praying it. But there all of a sudden was the presence of the Lord so big. It kind of, wow, I didn't want to leave it. It just was really good. And so my few minutes that I was going to spend there went to an hour and more, because I was just basking in the presence of the Lord. Hope you've had that experience. We'll have some more, because they're great times. They're really great times. And so the Bible says that faith comes by the Logos and by the Rhema. So there's a degree of faith, if you like, that comes with the written Word of God. But oh boy, when the Rhema comes, wow, that's revelation. Awesome revelation of the Word of God. And I believe that's faith. Therein is faith. It takes spending some time with God. It takes more than just reading the Word of God. It takes spending time in the presence of the Lord with the Word of God for Rhema to come. Faith comes by Logos, yes. But oh boy, when it comes by Rhema, wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, we talked last week, and again we'll look at the Word of God today, but hear it like this. God wants us to be specific in how we pray. You know, it's hard to get specific in how we pray until Rhema comes. We're going to talk about that some more this morning. Now let's go over to the word from Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. I want to begin by saying this to you. The word now, even in all the different versions that I looked at in this last week, that word now means a lot of things to a lot of different people, I guess. Now has always just connected it to faith for me, so now faith. Faith is now. When you look at West's translation, he says that now means of a certainty. And so I can take what he has to say. Of a certainty, faith is. When I look at Matthew Henry's translation, if you like it, he says that faith can't be anything but now. He says hope can be the future and is the future, but faith is now. It's not faith, he says, if it's not now. So I read the Bible a little bit differently when I see that. If I think I'm faithing it, but I'm still way off in the future, I'm still in hope. But hope needs to bring about faith. Faith needs to have something to hang on. Faith, by love, hangs on hope. Your heart cries out for people that are hopeless. People that have no hope. People that are disillusioned, feeling bad about things. But when they've got some hope, faith can come and hang there and take you to places where God intended you to be. Now faith is. We'll look at that a little bit more too as we are in the Word of God. You know, I had this heart this morning. When we came in, I heard the news. Somebody had unplugged some wires back in the sound department here and bent some pins that need to plug in properly and all of that. And I hope they had a good time. But anyway, it looked like we were never going to break through. Looked like, well, there will be absolutely nothing coming through on the screens this morning. Can't even show the Word of God. But my hope said, yeah, we will. We'll have what we need. The first thing that happened was that we came into the presence anyhow without all the electronics. Secondly, about halfway through the praise and worship service, we got light. We got something to show on the screens. So hope brought about faith. There were others that were saying, we can have a breakthrough. We can have these things on the screen. How's your hope today? What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for specific things or just in general? I got a little note from Jim Randall this week. How many know who Jim Randall is? Jim pastors a wonderful city church in Saskatoon. And he's a man that I've walked with and have known and worked with for many years. Anyway, he wrote at the bottom of the little note to me, he said, "Be blessed, Glenn." Well, you know, that kind of fit with some of what I'd been reading and studying that week, but But my first thought was, wonder which one of the 8,000 and some blessings there are in the Bible. I wonder which one of those he meant for me. Sometimes we deal in generalities, don't we? I say that too. Be blessed. On the inside of me, though, I think, be blessed with the kind of blessing you're calling out to God for. What is it that you need? Last week, the Spirit of the Lord had us to break right in the middle of the message and begin to pray for people and to do what the Word was showing us to do, was to not just leave, be healed is a generality, but be healed, speaking exactly what we wanted. This week I got into a book that I've had on my shelves for many years. It is a book by Young E. Cho, the man I was talking about in Seoul, Korea. He called it The Fourth Dimension. Have any of you read that book? He was talking about being a very young preacher, and he was talking about, well, that he was destitute. Even though God had him talking about prosperity, he was destitute. Didn't have a bed to sleep in. He had an empty little one-room place. He didn't have a desk. He didn't have a bicycle to get around Seoul so that he could meet with and see people. He just had some things. He was just destitute. And he was crying out to God to bless him. And God said, what do you want? So he said, I need a desk and I need a bicycle. And I can't remember what the other things he was needing were, but God came back at him and said, what kind of a bicycle? And what kind of a desk do you want? What are you believing for? So he did some research and he found out that he wanted an American bicycle. Thinking that an American bicycle was one of those ones that you know, had gears on and he could decide how fast he was going to go and all of that. He wanted it kind of chromed up and looking good, you know. And the desk, well, he knew that he wanted a specific kind of mahogany and all of that. And so he came back and told God those things. And as he began to pray for those things, he realized that something was happening on the inside of him. I was incubating faith. He said, I was pregnant. Of course, he told some people that. And he became a bit of a laughingstock around his home community. And people began to say, so you're getting fat with a bicycle. And you're pregnant with a desk and all of that. And you know, he was being ridiculed a little bit. And then God gave him something to say. God told him, well, ask him where he was 9 months ahead of the time that he was born. He said, I was living inside my mother. So he began to tell people that. He said, I'm incubating what it was that I asked God for. Of course, it wasn't very long, just a little bit of time before he had all that he had asked God for. But think about this. He had been praying and asking God for a desk and a chair and a bicycle for several years. But then he got specific. I think a lot of us need to be specific in our prayers. Not just to cry out to God for general things, but to say, God, I need this. I read a story a little while back, and it was about a pastor who was asked to pray with a lady. And so they brought her to his office, and he said, what is it you want me to pray for? She said, I want a husband. Oh, he said, just any old husband? And she said, well, yeah, a husband, one that God chooses. But he said, I think God's designed this thing so that you can choose. And so he began to ask her some questions, you know, right down to, what color is this guy? How tall is he? What does he do for a job? How does he believe? You know, all of these things, and he had her to write it all down. And then they prayed 10 different specific things about what her husband should look for. This was a lady already in her late 30s, and she'd been praying for a husband since she was early 20s. So it had been years that she'd been just crying out to God. Within a year, she was already married. And she had what she believed for. Isn't that awesome? Got specific. I believe God wants us to be specific. What are you wanting today? Say, Pastor Stead, this is the most basic faith lesson that you've ever brought. Yeah, but we need to go back to basics sometimes, don't we? We kind of just get so general about, Lord, bless me. So last week, when God kind of interrupted the message a little bit, he had us to challenge people a little bit exactly how they expect to be blessed, exactly how they want. That was about healing. So we talked about exactly how you're going to possess your healing. And we went back to basics. Can you see yourself healed? How do you see yourself healed? Exactly what needs to be healed? To cry out to God for, I need to be healed, probably needs some more specifics. And so we asked people to envision this whole thing, because that's part of the process, is to envision whether you're asking him to fix something or whether something needs to be birthed or whatever. We need to be more specific. One of the parts of scripture that we went to last week, I want us to return to this morning. Back into Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1. You all know it by heart. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this week, back to the word again, looking for the original word in the Greek language for substance. And you know it's hypostasis. I think I'm pronouncing it not quite right, but that's close enough. And again, it said title deed or legal paper in the original dictionary that I went to. But then I dug deeper and I began to look at some other areas. Hypostasis, it means ground or confidence. And then it said this, a substance which first has a stage of development. And it talked about the stage of development being a clear-cut objective. I thought about how God's dealt with me over the years and considered how he might have been dealing with you, maybe even right now. There are a lot of people that sit in pews and chairs just like these. And they get kind of offended with God because God didn't deliver what they expected. We've always thought, you know, that if we have expectations and the expectations are not met, that we'll get offended. And so we've always said offense is clearly unfulfilled expectations of some kind or another. But there are all kinds of people who are offended even with God because they prayed general prayers, because they weren't specific at all with Almighty God. I imagine there are lots here this morning that have prayed to God over the years. And they've prayed, and they've prayed, and they've prayed, and they've prayed. And we all know that sometimes it does take. There needs to be continuous prayer. And I don't know all the reasons why that sometimes a prayer is answered in a day and sometimes in a week and sometimes a month and sometimes a year and so on. I don't know all the answers to that, do you? But at the same time, I know that we need to pray substance. I know that I need to say to my God, this is the need that I have. Specifically, so that what it is that I need will come to pass by faith, my faith. Do you ever get weak in your faith? I mean, you started with this abundant faith. I mean, it was just wow. And you're going along a little bit, and things kind of get, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying and doing and doing and doing, and it doesn't seem to have arrived yet exactly the way I expected it to. How many know that if that continues to happen, eventually you'll quit praying? But when it has come to that point where it's real substance, a surety, an understanding, and knowing that that's coming, faith doesn't falter. Got something you've prayed years ago for, and you're not there yet, and you've kind of, it's there in your mind, in your heart, but you've not continued to pray like you used to? Now faith is. Let's go back and tap into the word now for a minute this morning. Now faith. Expecting that something happened now when I prayed. Now faith. I do have something in my own life that I've prayed for some years now. But for me, the word now connected to faith means that something happened right then when I prayed. It doesn't necessarily mean that I need to quit praying because I prayed it once. But the key to it all is that I expected that it happened in the spiritual then. And I can now stand on the prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for what took place when I prayed. When I prayed in the name of Jesus, I believe the prayer of thanksgiving is bigger, and a life of thanksgiving when it comes to prayer and faith is really big. To continue to thank God for what we prayed for, what we hoped for, what we faithed for is a big deal. Thank you, Lord. And then beginning to speak out what you prayed for. Thank you, Lord, for the supply of that. Thank you, Lord, for delivering that into my life. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Years ago, it's a lot of years ago now, God told me to. And I'm not recommending this to you, and I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of this, but God said this specifically to me. He said, Glenn, I want you to tithe on income that you're believing for. Well, that kind of blew my mind in the beginning, but I began to do it. And as I tithed, I would thank God for the income, the expected income. As that began to happen for me over the years, things increased. Good things began to take place, and it was kind of just between me and God. And the end result, I recognized how important for me being able to thank God for something I faithed for was. It was really big. It was a connection place. And even yet today, that's how I live. I believe I faith, and then I thank. And it's so important to me. Don't know if it works like that for you, but I find it so important. There's something that happens and keeps happening on the inside of me that connects me to the original place of faith. Now faith is. And I'm going to use the original word that I found in the dictionary there, the assurance of. Now faith is the assurance of. I got insurance when I prayed it, because I believe my God answers my prayer. I believe my God when I faith something, something begins to happen. Things kick into gear right there. But there is something that he showed us in the Word of God, how important thankfulness is. So if you live a life of thankfulness, if you pray thanksgiving, that's going to keep that faith alive on the inside of you. I want to take us to a quick story here and then a thought from the Word of God. Just to back up what I've said already, the scripture, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each one of us has a measure of faith. And you do have it, whether you feel it or not. God's way of doing things. Romans in chapter 11. Let's go to chapter 4 first. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's God's way of doing things, isn't it? Calling things that are what? Not, and called them as though they were. If that's God's way of doing things, if you believe that, think about that connected to your prayer and your faith. If you have a specific something that you've prayed in faith for, what's God going to do with that? He's going to speak it. Is that God's way of doing things? God speaking it? How did he create the world? He spoke it. His way of turning the light switch on was? Light be, that's it. And light was. Do we know what the time was in between? But we know that when he spoke it, it came to pass. My Bible says that the whole world was framed by him speaking the word. The whole world, everything. Everything around us, everything that's good from God came by him speaking the word. In other words, his faith. Everything was framed by his faith, by his words. They're faith words. How many know that we were made in his likeness, and so therefore we can do the same thing? So my world is framed by my faith or fear. My world is framed by what I speak. You know what? I don't like that very much. It puts an awesome responsibility on me. It's a lot nicer to just think, I just have to flow with stuff that comes, you know. But in reality, if I'm going to run around talking about negative things, what will I get more of? I'll get some more of that, won't I? Because I'm empowering more of that. Now, you know, this is just me. You know, I'm just sharing some thoughts from my heart. But hear me this morning, please. It's been obvious to some people that I had a attack, a health attack. Anybody can have a health attack. But if people everywhere, when you're fairly well known, and everybody comes up to you and say, how are you doing, Glenn? What was that you had again? And they get you talking about it all the time. Guess what happens? Not good things. Huh? And so even as Christians, I try not to say to people, how are you doing? In a way that I'm expecting you to tell me all about your symptoms. What I really want you to say is, doing good? And expecting people to hear that, to say that, so that's empowered in their lives. You can frame your own world. You can frame your own healing. You can frame the things that happen in your life by faith. Now, he frames the world around us. But we frame, with our own faith and our own words, we frame the rest of our lives. Is that making any sense to you? Now, faith, moving from hope to faith, now faith, right now, something happens when I speak words. And we're just talking about faith right now. Let's not talk about the other thing. I know that there are some here that need a new job. You can frame that. There are some here that need more money. You can frame that. There are some here that need relationships healed. You can frame that. You can apply faith that's assured. You can apply faith Well, that means that what God gave you when you were made in his likeness, he gave you the power in your life to change the things immediately around you, the things that have to do with your future. You can do it. So, need more money? Need a specific healing? Begin to speak it. Call out to God, and then in thankfulness live your life. Thanking God for the answer. And I've gone to be to work with a Christian doctor. This doctor said to me, I know what you believe, but I operate within the confines of what I've learned and know and understand, how I've been educated. And so it's going to be interesting how we work together. And I thought, what a rare opportunity I have to work with a spirit-filled Christian doctor who knows what I believe. How are we going to handle all of this? As a young person, they said that I had diabetes. So every time that I walk, that history is still there. So anytime I walk into a doctor's office or a clinic of any kind, they first of all say, "You're diabetic, aren't you?" There's always that big sigh on the inside of me. I don't want to go down that road. You can see I'm a diabetic. You know, you can see what medical science has said about me all these years, and I don't want to keep repeating it. I had a fellow tell me one time, "Have you heard that people that become alcoholics are always alcoholics? That it's a disease and they always are." And I said, "Well, I've read a little bit about that, and I come to understand that the big book of alcoholics says how, written by a fellow by the name of Bill W., says on the inside cover how I recovered from being an alcoholic." He said to me, "Yes, but when we go to the meetings that he put together, everybody sits around and says, my name's such and such, and I'm an alcoholic." And my faith and my understanding of all of that says, don't you think they should be saying, "My name's such and such, and I'm," at the very least, say, "I'm a recovering alcoholic." And that's it. There are lots of things that we have to say about ourselves. There are lots of things that kind of have happened in our lives or whatever that we can keep empowering in our lives, or we can take ourselves by our very confession, our faith, and take ourselves out of it because we're framing our own world. I don't know if all that makes sense to you. But now faith ought to take us to a place of recovery. Now faith ought to take us to a place of release and of freedom. Now faith ought to speak a wonderful future into our lives. The very promises of God in our lives. Lord, I want to be blessed. But I want to be blessed specifically in this area, in that area, in that area. This is what I believed for. This is what happened when I prayed. We can frame what needs to happen in our lives in the future. I'd like you to take a minute right now and frame something. Speak a now, an assurance, faith into your life, into the future. Just speak it to yourself. Speak it to God. And then we'll thank God for the answer to that. And make a decision to live a thankful life. Live a life of thanksgiving. Because it's that thanksgiving that will keep faith alive in you. Take a minute, would you? Spend a minute with God. They'd given me some pills to take. And I began to do exactly what the doctors told me to do. I had these two pills I was supposed to take in the morning and two in the evening. So I began to take them. In fact, I was really serious about it. I was going to do what they told me to do. In the middle of all of that, I was going to have a healing. God said to me, I gave you doctors, and I gave you nurses, and I gave you the medical people. I did that. But he began to speak to me about how I would frame my life. And I realized those were necessary things to support my faith along the way. And then he began to talk to me about how that I could take my own pills, faith pills, how I could speak the word of God into my own life, morning and evening, just like I took the pills. So it became like this. Pills in one hand, faith promise in the other. That's okay to do. In fact, it's very much okay to do. We have the Spirit of the living God and the promises of God and specific things, now faith, that we can speak that will work together with what medical science brings and gives us. We don't have to, in order to stand in faith, we don't need to put away the things of medical science, but to allow them to work together in our lives. In any event, medical science doesn't always tell you that everything will work out and will heal you when they give you the pills. They'll simply tell you to take these for a specific length of time or until the whatever it is they gave you runs out. Complete the medicine they gave you. Well, ours doesn't run out, our pills. Amen. And we don't know exactly when everything that we see will line up with the Word of God. But we know it will. We can know that. And we can thank God for that every day of our lives, every minute of our lives, always living that life of thanksgiving. That's what keeps faith alive. Praise God. Can we pray for a minute? Somebody's having fun in the other room. Father, we come to pray the prayer of thanksgiving today. Thank you, Lord, that when we pray in the name of Jesus, in faith, that we have the substance We have the substance of our faith, the substance of our prayer. It's now. Something happens in the spiritual realm when we pray faith. But now it's our heart to keep that faith alive on the inside of ours. Continuing to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For prayers answered. Thank you, Lord, for an answer to our faith. Thank you, Lord. We've got the title deed. Lord God, each one of us has a need. Each one of us has something that we're believing for, praying for. We thank you right now in faith that it's done. We thank you that the moment we prayed, the moment we set our faith in action, it was done. We're assured of that. Thank you, Lord, that you love us that much. Thank you, Lord, that you put in place that kind of caring for us. Thank you, Lord. You said that when we prayed in the name of Jesus, believing that our prayer would be answered. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. Thank you, Lord, for answers to specific prayers. Thank you, Lord. As we go from this place today, Lord God, I pray that each one of us captures what you put in place concerning living a life of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a faith prayer. Thanksgiving is a faith way of life. Thank you for the assurance, Lord, that the promises are ours, each one, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it's God's heart for us to be encouraged every day. I believe that there should never be a day that we feel discouraged when we're living a life of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's huge to our encouragement and moving forward. It's huge. Here's what happens for most of us. We step out in faith. We pray a prayer of faith. But a whole lot of times that happens in a service or whatever. By the time we get home, we forget what we prayed for. But if we will activate the thanksgiving immediately and stay in that life of thanksgiving, disillusionment won't happen. That which we prayed for, believed for, will continue on, and we will have the answer. We will have the answer. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, awesome day. There's something coming at the end of the month that I think a lot of you would be interested in. The last Monday of the month, the last Monday and Tuesday evenings, in Saskatoon, there's a special gathering taking place. Bishop Tony Miller, who's been as a bishop to our group of churches all across Canada, is coming to speak. And he's a wonderful man of God, one that I've received from greatly over the years. And I wish that you would take it in. You're invited. And so that's at City Center Church on 20th Street in Saskatoon, the 27th and 28th of January. There is a poster. Is it up already, John? There's a poster out here so you can get more information about it. But I believe you would be thoroughly blessed if you would make that trek on the Monday and Tuesday night, the 27th and 28th of January. So that's something to look forward to. John, is there anything else? Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.